growing up, I can remember when stewardship season would roll by, and it would always seem that the pastor would be able to bring out the widow's mite. So it would either be this version in Mark or the Lucan version. And I would always remember hearing about how the pastor would talk about how generous the widow was, how she gave despite her poverty. She was a generous giver, and she would be giving everything she could, and that we should be just like her. That she was held up as an example of what generosity looks like. And then usually at that point, the pastor would turn and start talking about tithing. And so it sinks into your mind, you're like, all right, when I get older, I'm going to tithe. Except there was one problem. I never knew what a tithe was. And so when I found out that it's the biblical vision of that in Leviticus is 10%, I got a little bit of sticker shock. 10% became kind of one of those moments of where you're like, that's what he's been talking about all these years? And it speaks to the reality that some of us know. For some in our communities, it's easy to give. There's an abundance. It's easy to give out of abundance. While others in our community, they live a little bit closer to the paycheck to paycheck. Giving just a little bit is a huge act of generosity. That it is sometimes hard in the midst of having mortgages, student loans, to give as much as you would like to give. And I think this text is a reminder that generosity is not an amount, but rather a spirit. Something we give, that it's that opportunity that we look out and we say, I want to give. I know I cannot give a lot, but I will give what I can. But as much as this text is about the woman and Jesus lifting up this woman, there's actually, I think, a bigger question that comes out of church, or a bigger question for the church. And it starts with the very beginning of it. The text begins with, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. Wow, what a tough text to stand in front of you in a long robe knowing that I'm going to pray some long prayers. I get to sit up front. You're all welcome to sit up front if you choose. It's hard. But I think what Jesus is really getting at is he's critiquing the system. A system in which the church, instead of taking care of those that are vulnerable, becomes kind of predatory to them, ignorant to their needs. Instead of taking care of them, it feeds on them. I think it's a call to refocus the community on the mission of God. And it's a kind of a neat question because it asks not how much should we give to the church, but what should the church be doing with our money? You know, when we talk about offering in the American church, it's different than in many other places. In Europe, you got taxed for church. So when you paid the government paid the church. When this country was founded, we were founded with a separation of state and church, right? Well, what that also meant is church no longer got the paycheck from the government. So the church needed its people to provide it with funding for its mission. Without the church's, the generosity of people giving to the church would be financially bankrupt. It'd be without that money that it needs to do ministry. Without offering, we cannot pay for staff. We cannot pay for the building. We cannot do many of the ministries. It becomes much harder for the church to function. So it's usually a good stewardship question. It's not just for us individuals. It's a question of what is the church being called to in the world? How does the church be generous in the world, in a world that needs it? How are we using the resources given to the church to help the world? Are we being generous to our community? And usually when we talk about the church's resources, there's two major expenses. The first one's staff, and the other one is the building. Now, I could talk to you about staff, but that would be really awkward, because when we talk about who's paid the most, it's me. We can talk about how great I am and all that stuff, but that doesn't really seem to be where it is. But I want to talk about stewardship, talking about this building. Because if I talk about the building, its feelings will be protected. We won't worry about it. This building was built in 1960. It's built on a floodplain. It has this beautiful woods paneling from the 60s that I think I remember seeing at home growing up. It has this beautiful view over the water. And it sits in a community where it's the only church on not only this island, but also on Treasure Island. It's a place where people come on to walk their dog, a place to fish, a place to take pictures, a place to park their cars. In fact, we had somebody this morning say, can I go to the Veterans Parade if I park my car here? And I was like, yes, but don't tell anybody else. don't take all the spaces. I need them, hopefully. But also, this is a church. It's not just a piece of land. It's also a church. And since it's a church, we get different visitors. We get a man who came in a couple weeks ago, and he was looking for prayer. He said, I'm unemployed. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I came into this church because I'm looking for prayer. And we sent him off with 10 pounds of pancake mix. We had a family call us this past week and say, my father-in-law has died. He shot himself. We need a place to gather. Can we gather at the church? And then they ask always the best question, how much? And I go, this much. Nothing. This church, we believe they should have a place to grieve. We had confirmation yesterday that even as we were wondering, where are the youth? We found one, paired up with another Lutheran church, and said, we're going to come together and we're going to try to have confirmation because we believe that it's important enough that these kids be able to gather together to hear the story of faith. We talk about having a Thanksgiving dinner, talking about those that might not have a place to go, to come into our doors and come and eat and have fellowship. Often, it's funny because this past week I spent all this time with my fellow ministers. We were up in Leesburg, and you'll hear ministers every once in a while talk, he goes, do we need a building? Because buildings are expensive. And as I drove home and I was thinking about these things, I thought, we are not the building. But this building is a wonderful tool for us. We have a beautiful view where people can come. Whether you live in Treasure Island, you live in St. Petersburg, Seminole, Gulfport, Ohio, you can come into this building and be loved. But more than I want to love, we want to take care of. That this tool, this wonderful building can be a place for steppers to gather. People who are struggling with their addictions to come in and have a place to gather. It's a tool. And it's a tool that's available because we give. We give to maintain this building. And as I thought about this, I thought about a conversation I had last February. And in that conversation up in Georgia, I went up for a conference on stewardship. And the speaker said this. He says, generosity is often a behavior that we have to grow into. Just like prayer or reading scripture. You can't go from 0 to 10% overnight. That's a bad plan. You grow into it. You look at your life and you say, what do I think God's calling this church to do? and how do I support it? And I want to lead by example. I look out and I see this wonderful thing, because I look at my daughter and I say, what a wonderful community of faith for her to be in. And I want to support it. So when we talked last night, this past week, as I manufacture those cards, I think we talked about it. And I said, Jackie, we're going to go up a percentage point this year. We're not going to go all the way up to a tithe. We're going to go up a percentage point. We're going to grow in our generosity. Because this church, I believe, is doing a wonderful ministry. We are on a path in which we reach out. We talk about cold weather shelters with our sister congregation at Trinity. We have this beautiful Thanksgiving dinner coming up. We have funerals where I can go, and when the family asks me, they say, what about a luncheon? And I say, I already have the money budgeted in. You can come. We are glad in our sadness that we can provide service to you. That we are able to reflect the generosity that God has for us. That we are able, because when we really talk about generosity, it's hard to separate it from love. My love for others will make me generous. If Joe needs something, I am really generous. And I think God works the same way. Because God loves us, God gives in abundance. And that's what we see in the cross. God will give almost everything God has for us, including God's life. And that's the wonderful gift we bring to this world. A gift of generosity that is rooted in love. Amen.